It's time to go up close and in-depth with Virginia Tech. And who's better to help Wes break down what's going on in Blacksburg than the voice of the Hokies, Bill Roth.
Play action pass on first down for Thomas. Lofting it deep, right side, in the end zone. It is caught! Touchdown, Tech!
It's time for the Cowan Gates Roth Report on Sports Radio 910. Cowan Gates, our standard is excellence. You can get in on the report as well. Call 345-0910 or hit us up in the inbox, Wes, at sportsradio910.com. Here's Wes McElroy and Bill Roth.
And joining us from Blacksburg on this Tuesday as the Hokies get ready to go out to practice, Bill Roth joins us. And Bill, I was all excited. It's been a while since we talked about a win. I thought we could get all, the positives, and we will, but unfortunately, we got a loss to talk about, and I want to get to the win, but just how big of a loss to see Andrew Miller go down for the season, being the one guy on the O-line who comes back, but also arguably the most important guy on that O-line.
Brutal. Brutal, because he's such a leader. He's a tough guy. He's the guy that gets everything started before each snap, and, you know, you just hate that for him. And when he went down, when we saw Coach Beamer go out onto the field, you kind of had a feeling something was bad. And then when the trainers came over to him, Mike Goforth, the trainer, came up to Coach on the sideline and told him, you could just see the look on Coach's face, the energy that was drained. So we hate that for him.
Now, this is a guy, and you and I could do this as a great sports talk topic one day, but underappreciated positions in sports. Yeah. You talk about the quarterback-center relationship, which we all do take for granted until there's a mistake. And, you know, that's something that we'll have to look out this Saturday for. But this is a guy, and you alluded to it, this is a guy who's right there. He's calling out the blocking assignments. He's your quarterback in a three-point stance.
Not a good week to lose your center, not with this team. And, you know, the other thing is that Caleb Ferris is out as well as backup. So, fortunately, Michael Vice played that not only this year but over the past couple of years and in the spring. And Arkham had a couple of reps at the center during the spring as well. So that's what the Hokies are going to go with Saturday. This is not the place to go limping in with a bunch of holes on the offensive line, but here we go anyway.
All right, before we look ahead, let's look back here to a couple of things. As far as Saturday goes, we don't want to sound like doom and gloom. It was a tough start. This team's had trouble starting hot before, but something clicked in that second quarter. From your point of view up there in the broadcast booth, what clicked? What caught your attention against Duke?
I thought the first drive following Logan's pick six when they came down and scored at the end of the first quarter was really good, because I think he got his mojo right back. He had a throw that was tipped by Holmes, and the safety Bias just on the run grabbed it out of the air and took it in for an easy score, and Logan did not let that phase him at all, which I thought was good. And I thought the interception at the end of the second quarter was gigantic. It turned that game around and potentially turn this season around, because Duke was ready to punch it in again, at least kick a field goal. And the next thing you know, not only did the Hokies get an interception by Bonner and a very good return, but then they score on the very next play, a 47-yard touchdown pass. So I thought at that point it's 20-10 and Duke's ready to score again. Instead, the Hokies score, and it's 20-17 at the half with the ball to start the third quarter. I mentioned to Mike on the air, it looked like it was going to be another shootout. Unfortunately for Duke, it never got to that point, because after the first quarter, Tech just did all the scoring.
You got J.C. Coleman, who had it took him a little bit, but he found those holes. He hit totaled up 183 yards, but they're not going to use him as the primary back. They're still going to go with this rotation. Why?
Well, that's the way Coach Beamer says he's always done it. They really thought that Gregory was about to bust through, too, in a big way. And remember now, we're going back on the road, and it's nice not to throw all the weight of the world on Coleman. Now, even if they were going to give him the ball 22 times on Saturday, Wes, I don't know that they would say so on Tuesday. So I think we need to keep that in mind. I think they did a good job last week of talking about some things, at least in the media, defensively, about how they were going to return to the base, and then went out and played basically nickel the whole game. So you got to take, you got to look at all the coaches speak that comes out as well during the course of the week. Things change during the course of a game, and I thought our coaches did a really good job of hanging in there and doing some adjustments after the first quarter Saturday.
And before we move on to the actual Clemson game, just to go back on the defense, you mentioned going back to basics. I've been critical of some of the negative post-game comments, and you and I talked about this last week, by the players. So I need to mention the positive ones. It was nice to hear more than one player say they were just having fun out there.
Well, winning is fun, and getting after the quarterback is fun. When it's always second down and 14 or third and 17, and you know the other team's going to throw it, it's great to be a pass rusher. And for James Gale and Luther Maddie, they had their best games of the year in terms of getting after the quarterback.
And I'm trying to remember the math here. It was 5 sacks on Saturday compared to what? 8 sacks in the first 6 weeks?
Yeah, we had 8 coming in. Isn't that something?
And that's going to be big against Clemson this Saturday. If you can, you know, even half repeat that performance, because getting after Taj Boyd, that's a big key to victory.
Yeah, this is an interesting game, and it's interesting because as we go back and watch the two games from last year, the Hokies couldn't move the ball on them. Now, a lot of that had to do with 3 Tiger defensive linemen that got drafted, but Tech had a really difficult time moving the football against Clemson and running the ball. And as you look at this week's game, it's going to be critically important for Virginia Tech to move the ball and score and not fall behind. I don't know that Virginia Tech can fall behind 3 scores Saturday and come back like it did against Duke. I think getting off to a great start is huge, and keeping Boyd over there next to his coordinator and assistant coaches is probably really important this week.
Now, the one thing that gets lost, and it's weird how it gets lost because it's right there in your face. I know Clemson's got Boyd, and you've got Watkins, and you got the wide receivers, but how balanced this team is. And I think statistically, I read this, that they're running the ball better than they're throwing it this year.
They are. They're actually running it at a higher percentage than Virginia Tech runs the football. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
You wouldn't assume Clemson's more of a running team than the Hokies are. What's really interesting, if you look closely at their stats, Sammy Watkins doesn't have a touchdown catch this year. And they're getting it done. I mean, Ellington is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a fifth-year senior back, and he's getting a ton of yards. And he holds on to the ball, and he breaks tackles. And so if you play Clemson to be the passing team, they're just going to pound it with Ellington. And Coach Beamer, during his press conference today, said he really likes Clemson's offense because it's the spread, and they do a lot of crossing stuff and misdirection stuff. But they're also a power football team, and they smash you. And that's what they've been doing so far. Now, on the other side of the ball, they've not been great defensively, and even Clemson fans will admit as much. So I think the key for Virginia Tech, this is not going to be a 14-10 game. So it's going to be a long game, and you got to score touchdowns when you get in the red zone. You can't turn the ball over, and hopefully make some plays in the kicking game and steal a win on the road.
And the matchup's going to be Kyle Fuller's going to play boundary, and Exum's going to play on Watkins?
You know, we're going to see how that goes. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all to see Tech play this game kind of the way Georgia Tech and BC defended them. And that is a lot more zone. In other words, let them make them snap the ball 12 times if they're going to score. And don't give up big plays. Because that's what hurt the Hokies last year, was big plays. So I'm going to be really interesting to see. They're just getting going today this week for practice. I really like to see on Saturday how the Hokies play defensively. I don't think they're going to defend Cincinnati. Clemson the same way Tech defended Cincinnati.
We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back more on this matchup. And as he mentioned, as Bill mentioned, they're back in practice. We'll talk about who's hopefully healthy for this week's game. More on the Clemson-Virginia Tech matchup, and also some news today about the 2013 schedule. We'll tackle that in 1 minute with Bill Roth and the Cowan Gates Roth Report.
Hey, this is Bill Roth. You know, every Tuesday we bring you the Roth Report with all of the latest and greatest in Tech sports news, and it's a team effort. So I'd like to thank the team at Cowan Gates, especially Virginia Tech alumni Frank Cowan, Mike Hall, Brandon Cowan, and Catherine Gray for their sponsorship of the Roth Report. The attorneys of Cowan Gates have been helping families and businesses for over 35 years. Call them at 804-320-8918 or visit CowanGates.com. Show your support for the team that supports the Roth Report, the attorneys of Cowan Gates.
This is Brandon Cowan, estate planning attorney with Cowan Gates. Most of my clients want to ensure their assets pass in the manner they desire and to the people they desire, and that they limit the amount the government takes. Do you share these concerns? For some, a trust is the best vehicle to accomplish these goals. For others, a simple will is sufficient. Regardless, proper estate planning now can save your loved ones considerable aggravation, time, and money later. To determine the best approach to protect your estate, contact me, Brandon Cowan, at CowanGates.com. That's CowanGates.com.
Right back at it on the Cowan Gates Roth Report with Bill Roth, voice of the Hokies, on the call this Saturday as Virginia Tech travels down to Clemson. We'll get back into that matchup. But Bill, some news coming across the wire here over Twitter while I'm on my show. I see Virginia Tech finally found themselves another opponent for 2013.
Yeah, the Hokies are going to restart their series with East Carolina for 8 seasons, 4 games here and 4 games in Greenville. And the reason that changed so quickly was the ACC's decision to go to 8 games. in the conference schedule after the decision was made to go to 9. Now, Tech voted against that. The 14 schools in the league voted in the past month or so, and the vote was 8-6 of the 14 schools to dump it from 9 back to 8 games. Each school has its own reason for scheduling. The Hokies liked the 9-game schedule. Florida State did not. Clemson did not. And it almost split right down the middle. It was 8-6. But the net result was that everybody in the league was scrambling for games for next season, and even more so for Jim Weaver, because, as you know, Pittsburgh was supposed to be a non-conference game next year.
Yep.
And so now that's a home conference game, so now you're really trying to find people to play at the last minute, and when everyone's looking for games, the price goes up. So the Hokies had East Carolina on. They dropped off. Now we've got them back on. So we'll see how that goes. This is the third time we had a long series with East Carolina scheduled. The first two times, something happened during the course of the series to change. But I think we're going there next year, and I think we can pretty much put that in stone for 2013. So that'll be the game that fills in for an ACC game. But what I find a little bit unusual about it, and you can ask our fans how they feel, you know, in the next 8 years, Virginia Tech's going to play East Carolina 8 times. And play Florida State once or twice. And I don't know that you – same thing with NC State. Anybody in the other division other than BC who's not a permanent crossover, you're only going to see once every – what is it now? Once every 6 years at home and once every 6 years on the road?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be 12 years in between visits for Florida State or Clemson to Lane Stadium, but East Carolina's coming an awful lot. So I don't know I don't know how that taste to a fan.
Yeah, well, I sit on the side of the fence with Jim Weaver. I'd rather see 9 conference games than 8. I think you can get enough.
I'd rather see 10.
Really? Wow. I think you get enough creativity with 3 open dates, but
the problem is the money aspect.
Exactly.
If someone wants $975,000 or $1,000,002 to play a football game, that's a lot of money. And it doesn't matter if you're in the ACC or the Colonial or whatever league. You can use $1 million to fund your soccer program. And it's really hard to go into a staff meeting and tell your own student athletes, you've got to bus to Alabama to play a game because I had to pay a team to come in here $1 million. Because you know exactly what happens now. I mean, Bowling Green takes that money and they fund their soccer program with it. It's very hypocritical. So if you're an athletics director, you don't want to be spending $1 million or $1.2 million to pay other teams to play you, because that's money you can use in your own athletics program for facilities and salaries and medical stuff. And so, yeah, it really puts an athletic director in a tough spot.
Yeah, well, it comes to this argument, you're not getting one out of me. I agree with you guys. Bill, I got about a minute left. Let's go over a couple of things we should be paying attention to as this week goes on. I imagine two big ones, Dyrell Roberts and David Wang.
They hope to get with David out there today at practice. And I think if he will go. I don't know what color jersey he'll be in, if he'll go full or not, but he would help. And I think the same thing with Roberts. Women's basketball media day is going on now, and the men's is tomorrow down in Charlotte. And so we'll have a lot of hoops news tomorrow, where NC State will be the preseason pick of the league for the first time in a long time.
Yeah. So the coaches poll yesterday come out, and they were sitting there at number one. Bill, I'm out of time. Have yourself a good one, and you'll be on the air. What time? 11 a.m.?
10:30 Saturday morning.
That's right. These noon 12:30 things are messing me up. 10:30, Bill Roth, Mike Burnup on the call down in Clemson. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, man. Have a great week.
You got it. That's Bill Roth. Joins us each and every week in the Cowan Gates Roth Report, and that's available on podcast on sportsradio910.com. And